This morning, I just want to talk a little bit about the big deal of Christmas. You know, when I think of Christmas, there's all kinds of random thoughts that go through my mind, some of which I'm kind of surprised about. Then there's the shopping. You know, what do I get? Where do I get it? When's the best time to get it? Is it Black Friday or Cyber Monday? And then there's the long lines. You should have seen the line we were in at Toys R Us. They only had two registers open, and the line snaked back and around all through the aisle. But, you know, I did have an absolutely wonderful time with my shopping partner, Julia. We had a good time together, and thankful for some good babysitting as well. Then there's the gifts. All right, so we have gifts. Beautiful boxes and bows, and in my house, I'm expected to help in the wrapping. And I love gift bags. Why not use a gift bag? I mean, they make them, right? Just stuff, you know, but there's boxes of ribbons, and there's all kinds of paper, and there's all kinds of weird-shaped gifts. What do you do with a gift that's shaped like this and is supposed to fit into a box? How does that work? You see, Christmas trees is another thing. Christmas trees, that's a very traditional thing in the Fetterhoff household. Growing up, we would always go out the day after Thanksgiving, and we would go out into the woods to some Christmas tree farm. We would hunt for our Christmas tree. And we would cut it down. Now, there was always the traditional games that we would play. We would play hide and seek and tag in the snow all throughout the Christmas tree farm. And all of this was just to pass the time while Mom figured out which tree she wanted to get. And once Mom figured out which tree she wanted to get, then we would come around and look at it, and we'd cut it down, and we'd drag it out. And when we get it home, you know, now, traditions are, we're continuing some of those traditions in our home, although we haven't found a farm where we can cut our own tree yet. Let me know if you know of one. But we go and we find a tree in some Christmas tree lot, Convier's, and this year we even got to help unload the wagon of all those Christmas trees, and boy, that was a lot of fun. And we get the Christmas tree, we bring it home, and then there's the decorating. Just the frenzy, the excitement of getting this tree decorated. Now, I'm supposed to get the tree in right away. I get it, I cut it, put the thing on, the stand on, and I get it in, I put it in place. 2 years in a row now, I put it in place in exactly the right position. My wife was wondering, how do I do that? I don't know. I'm just, maybe it's practice, but I'm okay with that. Getting under the tree and adjusting it is not always the most fun thing in the world. But then there's the lights. Oh, Christmas tree. Yeah, we haven't graduated to the pre-lit trees, but we've got Christmas. I have to admit something. I had to put lights on twice this year. Yes, it's always good to check the light string before you put it on the tree, right? Yes, and so we put lights on twice this year. And how about the tangles? If you've got a system, let me know. How in the world do you keep the lights from being tangled? Thank you. All right, I knew somebody would have something. All right, how about family? Talking about Christmas, and what's the big deal about Christmas? How about family gatherings? Times when we all get together. I mean, who doesn't think about getting together with family and friends at Christmas time? You share your memories, you play with your cousins you haven't played with since last Christmas. And then how about food? Boy, we love food and the cookies. Why is it that cookies have a monopoly on the holiday dessert menu? Why is that? Perhaps it's because it's so much fun to make them. I know my children love it when my wife gets out the cookie cutters and they have this whole cookie cutting session in the kitchen. Their favorite is the cutout sugar cookie. Did I say sugar? Oh, I'm sorry. We're trying to go light this year. And so So far, so good, just don't tell the kids. But food. So we have all of these special memories of Christmas, special things and special thoughts that go through our minds. We always think about Christmas dinner. And do we go traditional? Well, what's traditional? There's so much variety these days, but the Christmas dinner seems like it's the pinnacle dinner of all year. So what's interesting about all of this is that these things are more or less the trappings of one day that we've set aside to celebrate something so often missing in our holiday celebrations. You see, the big deal of Christmas is not the most productive shopping trip of all time. It's not finding that perfect gift. It's not in the tree. It's not in the gatherings. It's not in the food. In fact, it's not even in the music. It's not in the joy or it's not in the cheer. No. No, the big deal of Christmas is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the big deal. Why? Jesus Christ is the big deal because he truly is the reason for the season. Christmas, Christ, have you noticed? Christmas has his name right in it. That word Christ is a name that speaks of the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the one that God had chosen to be the promised deliverer of Israel. You see, the Jewish nation, they had been promised this deliverer all throughout their history. In fact, in the first book of the Bible, in the third chapter, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God spoke these words as he was issuing his curse to the devil. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And from that moment on, there was a spark of deliverance within the Jewish mind as they would read the book of the law, read Genesis, and realize that God had a plan. Yes, sin existed in the world, but God had a plan. The prophet Isaiah added to their knowledge when he prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive, bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then two chapters later, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus is the big deal of Christmas because he really is the reason for the season. Jesus is the big deal of Christmas because he is the Savior of the world. As the angel was speaking to Joseph, he said these things. And she, speaking of his espoused wife Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The message of the shepherds, as was already communicated today, but listen as I read it again. The message to the shepherds from the angel, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, as we think and contemplate a Savior, with that very thought and that very word, it brings these truths to mind. We are in need. In God's mind, we are in need of a Savior. Compared to God and who He is and His greatness, His holiness, His perfectness, perfection. Indeed, we don't measure up. We all know and realize that this world is full of sinners. Indeed, I, along with each one of you, are people who have offended a holy and perfect God in some way. He's the Savior of the world, reminding us that there is a holy God who desires to have a relationship with sinful man. But there was sin. But God came up with a solution, the plan, the redeeming of mankind through His Son, Jesus. Now, embedded inside of all of humanity, I believe, is a calling to thrive, a desire to strive for more, to want to live forever. There is a natural fear of death within people. So people go searching for this ultimate conclusion, this avoidance of death. They sometimes will search for it in bettering themselves. Let me remind you that if you search for it in bettering yourselves, you are limited. And you are limited by your very own abilities. Some search for it in doing and being good. Let me ask you, then, what is your standard of goodness? It is your own. And once again, that's a limitation. Some search for that ultimate solution in life. They search for it in religion. They expect their giving, they expect their service to somehow earn them the honor of life. When we boil it all down, we end up falling well short of God's holy standard. Whether people believe in the Bible or not, whether they believe in the existence of God or not, you and I know as the church that the Word of God speaks of a holy God. It speaks of sin, and it speaks of that great barrier between us and God, that being sin. We know that the Scriptures speak of Jesus as the Savior. And He's the Savior of the world. He's come to save His people from their sins. Indeed, those who don't believe in God, they will one day. They will. And that day they will realize just how great He truly is. Paul writes in the book of Philippians, "Wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, Jesus is the big deal of Christmas. He's the reason for the season. He is the Savior of the world. He is God that has come in flesh. You see, this was all part of God's plan. Jesus was the perfect man who God gave, God sent to this world to not only reveal to us Himself, but to also provide the only means by which a sinful person could have eternal life with God forever in a place called heaven. That very name, Emmanuel, as spoken of in Isaiah chapter 7 and also in Matthew chapter 1. God with us. That was a name that was given to Jesus, putting upon him forever that title of God. A man, a human being, yet God. What is the significance of such a truth? The significance is that we have God in flesh, revealing to us God's holy standard. But if you go through his entire life, you realize it ends with death on a cross. And seemingly, it's hopeless. But then he rises again. And so the scriptures speak of Jesus Christ, as Apostle Paul writes in Colossians, God hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, listen church, in whom we have redemption. Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That is spoken of Jesus, the one who was born and laid in a manger, the one whom the shepherds came and visited, the one whom the magi came and gave gifts, the one who was in the temple doing his father's business at the age of 12, the one who at the age of 30 we begin to see an earthly ministry of teaching people God's standard of righteousness and showing the vast discrepancy between man's ideas and God's. The one who gave his life on the cruel cross and from that cross spoke these incredible words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it is finished. And forever, forever, salvation was accomplished as Jesus died on that cross. These words were spoken of the one who was laid in a grave and then for 3 days was there, but on the third day arose, showing he was God, showing he had victory over sin and over death. 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. He's the satisfaction, the satisfying of God's wrath for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, God had a plan. The big deal of Christmas is God's plan of redemption. It's free to me. It's free to you. And it's something that we desperately need. It's all centered on Jesus, whose humble humanity began in a manger, who endured a cross, who overcame death, who's now preparing a place for those who believe in him. Won't you rejoice today over Jesus? The big deal of Christmas. It truly is him. Because he is the reason for the season. He is the Savior of the world. He is God who came in human flesh. Maybe today is the day that you finally realize the true meaning of this holiday. The true meaning of Christmas. My prayer for you today is that you trust in Jesus as your Savior. That truly is the big deal of Christmas. Lord Jesus, we give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, our talents and abilities, we offer them to you today as a humble offering of worship. We exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Whereas thousands of years after you were on this earth, Lord, we still are celebrating this truth and rejoicing over the life that is given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that as we continue our worship, may we, in unity, uplift your name.